thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, research out today shows the importance of neighbours with disconnected communities, costing the UK economy an estimated £32 billion every year. Sounds like a staggering amount of money. The study by Eden Project Initiative, The Big Lunch, found something as simple as knowing your neighbours has substantial economic benefits to the UK society. And we're all being encouraged to take part in this year's Big Lunch in June. I'm joined now by Peter Stewart, who's Eden Project Executive Director, and also by Tracy Robbins, who's Eden Project Communities Programme Delivery Manager. Hello.
Draw breath. Hello.
First of all, Peter, for those that aren't familiar, tell us a bit about the Eden Project.
The Eden Project is a place down in Cornwall, and for most people would know it as the biggest greenhouse in the world, which houses the biggest rainforest in captivity, attracts something like 1 million visitors a year, and has been going and has been in existence for some 16 years. But what they may not know is that underneath that project, there has always been a charity which is about connecting people with each other and the natural world, on the basis that if we were better connected in that way, that we would all be better placed to take on all the scary things that are coming at us over the horizon in a very, very positive way. And out of that, and connected to that, came the Big Lunch idea.
Now, tell us a bit more about the findings of the research, Tracy, in regard to the importance of neighbourliness.
Yeah, so what we did is we did some desk research, and then we researched the people that we know do the Big Lunch and are engaged in other community activities. And we found that looking at things like health, well-being, social care, policing, neighbourliness, people's productivity, we could actually save the UK economy £32 billion a year. And that's a staggering figure. At the Big Lunch, we knew that there were real physical benefits of people coming together, because we could see that. And we have lots of stories of people whose lives have changed from that. But we didn't realise the economic sort of impact that it could have. So that's why we commissioned this research, to see whether, you know, what we felt in our hearts was true. And yeah, we were very surprised the impact that not knowing your neighbours and being disconnected from your community could have.
Tell us a bit more then about what is disconnected about communities, because it's quite a negative thought, isn't it?
It is, and I think when you look at it, I think it's an evolution over a period of time. It's no one's fault, or it's just what has happened. I think if you go back to the 50s and 60s, where people lived where they worked and they created communities around that, and what they used to do, what we used to do, was we used to go into our villages and in our town centres on certain days, on market days and so forth, congregate around post offices, community halls, libraries, and that's where our social interaction took place. What happens now is that we live in a time where we can connect to anywhere in the whole of the planet within a nanosecond, and social media is something that we all live and breathe, and that is absolutely fantastic, and long may it should continue. The downside with it, and there is one, is that we lose that personal interaction of human touch. And at the end of the day, we are humans, and we know that through human touch and interacting in that way, that's where happiness and well-being, and that has all the positives which are then borne out in this research, that's where that lies. And that's actually what the concept of the Big Lunch is about, really. It starts out as just an invite. Can you sit together on one day, what happening to have fun and really have a good time, and that's what happens. But then the added benefit that comes out of it is that you have this growth of well-being, and in terms of building social capital on a mass scale. And that's why good people like the Big Lottery Fund have supported it since 2009.
mean, do you think we've got to where we are now because of it's a cultural change? Because you look at other countries, family's a much bigger importance, isn't it? The grandparents, the parents, the children. They seem to be more socially interactive than we are in the modern Western world.
I think that there is some truth to that. I think that every single country has a certain culture about how we behave. You know, I think if you take something like retail, for example, apparently all of our supermarkets have wider aisles within the UK than they do on other parts of the continent. And the reason for that is that we like our physical space around us and we don't like all that. So every culture is different. And I think you are right. The fact that there are other countries who do it better in terms of looking after their parents and looking after their grandparents and so forth. And what we must do is that we just must take a look at ourselves sometime and learn from each other, really, and try and take the best bits out of wherever we can and make it work for our culture.
And Tracy, a lot of our listeners are blind or partially sighted, and that can lead to quite a large feeling of isolation in society as well.
Yes, it can, and I think it's a big issue, especially for your listeners. Previous research I've done in the past around isolation and loneliness has shown that anybody that has another barrier to connecting with people can really feel the impacts. And that's why it's really important that this is on a neighbourhood level, because you reduce some of those barriers. So you reduce the transportation, you reduce the sort of service requirements, and that people know each other and they know each other's needs. And we can support anybody who wants to hold a big lunch. That's not a barrier for us. And we will support anybody who wants to get involved on the 18th of June to connect with their neighbours and come together. So it's a great opportunity for anybody.
And what would you want to come out of this then?
What would I want to come out of this? I would like to get to a point where, you know, like in the States where you have Thanksgiving Day and no one owns it, you just know what you're doing. I would like the big lunch to be owned by the people, and that the whole of the country stops for 4 hours every single year and we are doing other things, and that communities are thriving, and that we are all better, healthy, well-being and happier.
So if we want to arrange a lunch like this, Tracy, we can get help and advice from you as the best way to do this.
Yeah, so we have a very simple website, edencommunities.com, or if you put The Big Lunch in any search engine, you'll find us. We have a resource pack. We have community network developers in each region, country managers in each nation, and we compare people up to other big lunches that have held a big lunch so that they could be some peer mentoring. So yes, we'd support anybody and we'd encourage everybody to get engaged. And up until then, June's a few months away. Do you know, I'd encourage anybody to take a small step, say hello or good morning to a neighbour. Our research shows that 53% of people don't even do that. So we could start something small and then work up to a big lunch.
Great advice there. Peter Stewart and Tracy Robbins from the Eden Project, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.